Okay, so you're scrolling through your social feed, maybe reading an article or, chatting with a customer service bot, and this little question just kind of pops into your head. Is this actually human made? The internet just feels, well, different lately, doesn't it? Today, we're taking a real deep dive into that feeling, that sort of evolving sensation. We're exploring the blurring lines of online authenticity, the incredible rise of AI-generated content, and also the hidden threat of automated activity.
Right. And our mission here for you is really to pull out the most crucial insights from all the sources you've shared. We've got academic research on like virtual influencers, detailed reports on bad bot traffic, stuff on consumer trust in AI. We really want to give you a clear, well-informed picture of this whole digital ecosystem as it's changing. We'll look at how AI creates stuff, how it can sometimes deceive, and what it all really means for your Get It AI online rep.
So let's just jump right in. Let's start with this idea. It's kind of popular, maybe a little unsettling. It's called the dead internet theory. The basic idea is that a lot of what you see online, it isn't just made by humans anymore, not solely.
Yeah, it suggests it's increasingly generated by bots, by AI systems, these big algorithmic content farms, all designed to mimic real human voices. It paints this picture of a digital world where, honestly, it's getting harder and harder to know who or maybe what you're actually interacting with.
And that's not just some abstract theory, right? We see it happening like with the boom in AI influencers and virtual celebrities.
Exactly. Brands are literally creating these perfect spokespeople, attractive, zero scandals, completely controllable digital personalities, and they can get millions of followers. What's really interesting, I think, is that some users are drawn to them because they're virtual. But others, they might not even fully realize they're engaging with an algorithm, not a real person.
And the research shows they get good engagement.
Decent, yeah. Sometimes even three times higher than human influencers, which is wild.
Yeah.
Often it's down to like the novelty factor or that perfectly curated, almost
Yeah.
flawless look they have.
Three times higher. Okay, so how are they doing it? If these virtual people are getting so much engagement, what's the secret sauce?
Well, we looked at some really fascinating research that dug into how the emotional display of these CGI influencers affects user engagement. It's not just about showing an emotion, it's about like engineering it really precisely.
Engineering emotions.
Yeah.
Wow.
So studies use things like facial recognition on hundreds of pictures from Lil Miquella, a famous virtual influencer. They broke down emotions into these facial action units, and they found specific emotions, happiness, sadness, disgust, surprise, were actually significant in triggering engagement from users, especially when promoting different products with really visually captivating content.
Okay, so certain engineered emotions work, but you mentioned balance.
Exactly. The key finding was about balancing the intensity of these simulated muscle movements. It has to be just right to connect. Too much or too little doesn't work as well.
Interesting. So it's subtle. What else drives engagement beyond just the face?
Right. So another big study looked at TikTok.
Yeah.
Analyzed like 755 short videos from 30 different virtual influencers. They looked at two main things: visual features and content features.
Okay, let's break that down. Visuals first.
Sure. So, colorfulness, rich, vibrant colors, strongly linked to more engagement. Makes sense, right? They
Yeah.
grab your attention, make it visually stimulating, people comment and like more.
Yeah, that tracks. Brighter is better too, I guess.
Ah, see, that's where it gets counterintuitive. Brightness actually had a negative influence.
Really? Why?
Well, the thinking is that in this kind of engineered AI world, too much brightness, maybe harsh glare, it can actually strain your eyes, cause visual fatigue. It
Yeah.
reduces the appeal. So it suggests AI content needs careful calibration, not just, cranking everything up.
Huh. Okay. Less is more sometimes.
Kind of. But then vividness, like the dynamic motion of colors that did boost engagement, makes videos more captivating, more memorable.
Okay, so vibrant, dynamic colors, good. Too much brightness, bad. What about the content itself? What are they talking
All
about?
right, the content features. This is the second pathway. Videos about fun and entertaining topics, they have a significantly higher chance of getting engagement. They grab attention, spark positive emotions, lead to interaction.
Makes sense. People like fun stuff.
But funny enough, videos discussing normal life stuff, everyday routines, that kind of thing, they tend to be less attractive. Fewer likes, fewer comments.
So you probably won't see a virtual influencer like showing you their messy kitchen or their trip to the supermarket.
Probably not. It doesn't seem to land the same way.
And does it matter what kind of virtual character it is, like cartoony versus realistic?
Yeah, it definitely does. So for the animated characters, think more cartoony or stylize those visual features we talked about. Colorfulness, brightness, vividness. They have a more pronounced influence.
Okay, why is that?
Well, animated characters can just do more visually, right? More
Yeah.
expressive movements, more visual spectacle. But interestingly, that negative effect of too much brightness, it gets even stronger with animated characters. They also seem to boost the effect of fun topics even more.
Gotcha.
And what about the ones that look more human?
So for the human-like characters, the content topics seem to have a stronger influence on engagement.
Ah, okay.
These characters offer maybe a deeper sense of authenticity, relatability. People seem to foster more personal connections, feel more empathy, so they engage more with the substance, with what the character is actually saying or representing.
It really shows people interact differently, doesn't it? Valuing the message more with the human-like ones,
Exactly.
which brings up a really big question for all of us, I think. What does authenticity even mean anymore when we're interacting with these personalities?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? For brands, for platforms, transparency about AI involvement seems absolutely critical if they want to build trust.
And for us,
Yeah.
the users.
Well, it just highlights the need for better digital literacy. We all need to get, sharper at critically evaluating what we see online.
Are there signs, like telltale signs of AI content?
Yeah, there are some things to look for. Language that feels too perfect,
Yeah.
almost sterile, maybe lacking those little human quirks or errors. Images that have subtle weirdness, like an extra finger or odd backgrounds. Or maybe content that jumps onto trending topics super fast, but with zero real depth or insight.
Okay.
The problem is the sheer amount of synthetic content being pumped out is just overwhelming traditional fact checkers, which might mean we see a shift towards more curated spaces online, places where humans actively verify and vouch for quality.
And here's a thought that kind of spins out of that. As AI floods the web, maybe genuine human writing, authentic human insights, maybe they become more valuable.
That's a really interesting point. Like handmade goods in the age of mass production, they became premium, right?
Exactly. Maybe truly human-created content becomes the new premium in this super saturated digital world.
It's a powerful idea. A future where human creativity is valued even more.
Mm.
But as we've seen, the same AI that makes this, compelling engineered content, it also powers a much darker side of the internet.
Right. Which brings us to bad bots.
Let's pivot there. Because these are the unseen forces, quietly and often pretty maliciously, reshaping our online experience.
Okay, so first off, just define bot for us again.
Sure. Simply put, a bot is just a software application that runs automated tasks over the internet.
And there are good ones.
Absolutely. Good bots do useful things. Think Googlebot or Bingbot crawling websites so search engines work. Website monitoring bots, they help the internet function.
But then the bad bots.
Then the bad bots, yeah.
Yeah.
These perform tasks with, well, malicious intent. We're talking about stealing data, scraping content without permission, scalping limited edition
Like
items.
concert tickets?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Concert tickets, sneakers, you name it. Also launching DDoS attacks, that's distributed denial of service to crash websites, credential stuffing to break into accounts, all kinds of fraud, outright theft. OSP, the Open Web Application Security Project, they list like 21 different types of these automated threats.
Wow. And the scale of this, is it really that big a problem?
Oh, it's genuinely startling. Bad bot traffic. It's risen for the fifth year in a row. In 2023, these bad bots made up 32% of all internet traffic.
A third, almost a third of everything online is bad bots.
Yep, 32%. Up almost 2% from 2022. And get this, when you add the good bot traffic that was about 17.6%, that means nearly half. 49.6% of all internet traffic last year was non-human.
Wait, so humans were only just over half, 50.4%.
Barely. And automated traffic actually beat human traffic in four separate months last year. It's practically 50-50 now.
That's mind-blowing. It's not just the number, though, right? They're getting smarter.
Definitely. They're getting way more sophisticated. Bots are usually classified by complexity. Simple, moderate, advanced, and then this category called evasive bots. And the rise of AI, especially large language models, LLMs, like with the tech behind ChatGPT, that's massively driving this increase in sophistication. It's created this real split between the highly advanced automated threats and the more basic ones.
So the really tricky ones are growing.
Well, interestingly, simple bad bots actually increased in 2023. But the moderately sophisticated ones decreased. The real worry is the evasive bad bots. They combine moderate and advanced tactics. They now make up over 60%, 60.5% of all bad bot traffic, and they're incredibly hard to detect.
Okay, how do they evade detection? What kind of tricks are they using?
Oh, it's like spycraft. They use complex stuff like cycling through random IP addresses, using anonymous proxies, or even residential proxies.
Residential proxies, what are those?
They make the bot traffic look like it's coming from a normal home internet connection, like yours or mine, which makes it really hard for security systems to flag. They also mimic human behavior, mouse movements, typing speed, the delay requests, this low and slow approach to avoid setting off alarms. Some can even beat GPT CHAs now.
Wow. They're designed to blend right in.
Exactly. Yeah. And the damage they cause, it hits basically every industry. It's a huge cross-functional threat.
Okay, like what? Give us some examples.
Well, one of the biggest is account takeover, ATO attacks. This is where bots use stolen usernames and passwords, often from data breaches, and just try them on tons of different websites. It's called credential stuffing, or they try to crack passwords.
To get into people's accounts.
Yep. And these attacks jumped 10% between 2022 and 2023. What's really notable now is that almost half, 44% of these ATO attacks directly target APIs.
APIs. Application programming interfaces. Those are like the digital doorways between systems.
Exactly. They let software talk to each other, and bots are hitting them hard because they're machine readable and often give access to sensitive data. That 34% targeting APIs is up from 35% the year before.
Which industries get hit most by ATO?
Financial services is number one, nearly 37%, then travel at over 11%, and business services around 8%. And the costs, if you don't protect against this, they're massive. Regulatory fines, think GDPR, up to 4% of global turnover, or 20 million euros. Class action lawsuits, huge reputation damage, lost sales.
Yeah, the stakes are incredibly high. I know things like passkeys are meant to help.
They are, yeah. Passkeys aim to reduce that risk, but we need really widespread adoption for them to make a major difference.
Okay, so ATO is huge. What else are these bots doing?
Web scraping is another big one. Bots just vacuuming up data like pricing or content without permission. This is actually in the legal spotlight right now, especially around using scraped data to train AI models. Think the New York Times lawsuit against OpenAI and Microsoft over alleged copyright infringement.
I heard about that.
And it has real business costs, too. There was one airline facing over $500,000 in extra charges every month from a vendor because bots were just constantly scraping their flight search API for info.
$500,000 a month. Ouch.
Yeah. And competitors use bots, too, scraping prices and inventory to get real-time market intel.
Okay. And then there's the one everyone hates, scalping.
Ah, yeah, scalping. The perfect storm of high demand plus limited availability equals bot frenzy. Bots grabbing concert tickets. You mentioned the ticketing sites for entertainment. They see over 70% advanced bad bots.
70%.
Yep. Also collectible sneakers, gaming consoles, even restaurant reservations. People are using bots to snag free reservations and then resell them for like $340.
That's insane. Reselling a free reservation.
It really is. Then there's denial of inventory. Bots just hold items in online shopping carts but never buy them, stopping real customers from purchasing.
So they make things look sold out when they're not?
Pretty much. A specific version is seat spinning in the airline industry, especially big in Asia Pacific. Bots hold flight seats, sometimes for up to 24 hours without paying. The flight looks full, then takes off with empty seats because the bots release them last minute. Huge revenue loss.
Man, it's like digital whack-a-mole, but the bots have better hammers. What else?
So plenty more. Credit card fraud, bots checking gift card balances to steal them, bulk account creation used for spam or using promotions, and of course DDoS attacks. We even see spam bots being used to test stolen credit card numbers on nonprofit donation pages.
Testing stolen cards on charities, that's grim.
It's a pretty ruthless digital underworld.
Yeah.
And they're getting so good at hiding. Nearly half, 44.8% of bad bots disguise themselves as mobile users, like mobile Safari or Chrome, just to look legitimate.
And you mentioned residential proxies.
Yeah. Over a quarter, 25.8% of bad bot traffic used residential proxies last year. Makes it look like the attack is coming from a regular house. The U.S. is still the biggest target overall, about 47% of attacks, followed by the Netherlands and Australia.
So given all this, the scale, the sophistication, the evasion, how can businesses actually fight back effectively? It sounds almost impossible.
It's definitely a huge challenge. It requires a layered approach. Businesses need to really understand their specific risks, lock down vulnerabilities, especially those exposed APIs and mobile apps. They need strategies like, say, blocking ancient browsers that bots often use, or restricting access from known bot hosting data centers.
And monitoring.
Constant monitoring is key, looking for anomalies. Weirdly fast interactions, super high bounce rates on certain pages, conversion rates suddenly tanking, weird spikes in traffic, lots of failed logins or checkout attempts. Also, keeping tabs on major data breaches is crucial because attackers jump on those stolen credentials immediately.
It sounds like you need more than just basic firewalls.
Oh, absolutely. The answer really lies in robust, dedicated bot protection solutions. Things that go beyond old school methods. They use layered defenses, analyze user behavior, profile users and devices, use device fingerprinting, and crucially, it requires dedicated human experts working alongside the technology. You can't just set and forget.
Human expertise combined with tech. Okay. This feels like a good transition to our final segment, AI, trust, and why the human element is still so indispensable.
Yeah, definitely. We're really in this age of expectation for AI, aren't we? It's moving past the hype, becoming a real potential game changer for businesses.
And consumers are noticing, right? They're more aware than maybe businesses think.
Way more aware. Consumers spent over $1 billion on AI apps in 2024 alone, and they have strong opinions. A huge number. 81% of global consumers say AI-generated content should be clearly labeled. Over 70% say they're already seeing more AI content from brands and from bad actors.
81% want labels. That's a powerful consensus. What about attitudes towards AI globally? Is everyone on the same page?
Not at all. This is really fascinating. There's a stark contrast. In the global South, places in Africa, Asia, Latin America, there's generally high enthusiasm. They often see AI as a tool for opportunity, self-improvement, economic growth. Younger people there are leading the charge, experimenting with it.
Okay, so high enthusiasm there. What about elsewhere?
In contrast, in mature economies, think many Western markets, the AI debate is often framed more around fear. Fear of loss, jobs, control, creativity. Age is a big factor too. Younger people, 18, 34, are way more positive about generative AI than older generations, which makes sense. They spend more time online.
Any data points that really highlight that difference?
Yeah, net promoter scores for Gen AI users are really telling. It's like plus 66 in Kenya versus Matic 43 in Japan and flat zero in the USA. Huge divergence in how it's perceived.
Wow. So for the people who do care about how AI is used, you said 61% globally, what builds trust?
Right. Trust is the absolute cornerstone. Businesses can build it through what some are calling the three pillars of AI trust. First is transparency.
Like the labeling we just talked about.
Exactly. Clear labels on AI content, on chatbots. It's not just about compliance. It signals openness, helps people assess risks. And 62% globally say clear labeling would actually make them trust a brand more.
Okay, pillar one, transparency. What's two?
Second is explainability. AI's ability to actually explain why it made a decision or generated a certain output. A massive 83% globally say this would boost their trust.
People want to know how the AI thinks.
Pretty much. It's crucial for AI to mature and gain acceptance, especially since the underlying tech, neural networks, can be so complex, like a black box. Providing clear explanations, maybe showing source material, that helps immensely.
Makes sense. And the third pillar?
The third one, and this feels really key after our bot discussion, is human involvement. Consumers really value knowing humans are involved in AI development. 80% say it increases their trust.
80%? That's huge.
It is. And it's especially critical in regulated fields like healthcare, finance, legal stuff. In those areas, 73% of consumers are uncomfortable with purely AI translation or localization. They prioritize precision and accuracy above all. This leads to the idea of genuine intelligence, purposefully blending human strengths with AI capabilities.
So it's not about AI replacing humans, but enhancing what humans do.
That's what consumers seem to want. Many companies first looked at AI mainly for cost-cutting, but consumers expect AI to improve quality, creativity, personalization, not just take over jobs. If a brand over-relies on AI, it can even come across as lazy.
Interesting perspective. Do people understand the trade-off, like giving data to improve AI?
Broadly, yes. They get the basic AI value exchange. My non-personal data helps make the AI better. And a good chunk recognizes this can actually improve representation, like creating better language models for local communities. But getting that inclusive data is vital. There's often a shortage of good quality data for local dialects and languages, which is a barrier. Ethically sourced, diverse data is essential to avoid bias.
And AI needs to be more than just text, right? To really connect.
Absolutely. To be truly authentic, AI needs to go beyond words. Images, video, voice, gesture, expression, all while staying culturally authentic. People are already using multimedia AI tools, like 45% use voice tech, over half use social media filters. This drives demand for things like real-time dubbing, subtitling, translation, to make content feel truly local.
which ties into this idea of localization being crucial.
Exactly. Native is the new normal. Breaking down language barriers is becoming table stakes for global customer experience. Get this, 96% of global respondents expect automatic real-time translation as just a standard service now.
96%, that's basically everyone.
Pretty much. And it reflects this broader cultural renaissance, too. Emerging markets are reclaiming their cultural identity, their languages. Younger generations are mixing heritage with digital tools. Good localization helps people spot authentic content, and it also makes it harder for bad actors to just scale up fraud globally.
But is AI translation trusted? You mentioned discomfort earlier.
That's the balancing act. While AI offers speed and scale for localization and many B2B buyers, 60% are more willing to engage with AI translation, nearly half. 48% of consumers globally still feel AI-based localization negatively impacts their trust compared to human translation.
So again, it comes back to blending human and machine.
Precisely. The best path forward seems to be combining them. Let AI handle the scale and speed, but have human specialists ensure the cultural nuance, the accuracy, the quality. That blend builds the most trust.
So wrapping this up, we've really dug into how AI is just fundamentally reshaping our digital world, from creating these engaging virtual stars to powering incredibly sophisticated bad bots.
Yeah.
That line between human and machine online, it's getting blurrier all the time. Huge opportunities, but also clearly some pretty significant threats.
Yeah, the future of online authenticity, online security, even online connection. It really seems to hinge on finding that right balance, that thoughtful integration of human oversight with these powerful AI capabilities.
So the final thought for you listening, as you keep navigating this digital reality, what does it actually mean for you to be well-informed when the online world is this seamless mix of human and machine? And maybe how will you continue to find and engage with the most valuable, the most trustworthy content in this whole new landscape? Something to think about.